Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
We're going to finish the book of Zephaniah with the last three verses, Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. And what you'll see here is this statement, "When I turn back your captivity." Verse 18, "I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord." See, we got the title for this from verse 20, right there at the end, where he says, "When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord." Now, notice, he said that these that were scattered and driven, he said, "I'm going to gather them." And watch, he said this, "I will get them praise and fame in every land where they've been put to shame. And I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth." You know, the shocking thing about this passage is that not only will the Jews be reconciled to their Messiah, as we've been studying in the former passages here, and not only that, but they will be at rest in their own land, which is kind of interesting because we've been, what do we say, about 3,000 years waiting on that. And not only that, and this is what's the shock, they're going to be praised and they're going to be famous among the rest of the nations. Now, as time goes by, before Jesus returns, the world will become more vehement in its hatred of the Jews. I mean, not less, more. Following the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the world is going to suddenly change its mind, change its tune, change its stance. And Israel, instead of being the off-scouring of the world, is going to be a revered name. And the people in Israel are going to be praised. It will be an absolute, complete turnaround. And truthfully, that's the way it's going to be for all of God's people. I mean, with us as Christians, we are the off-scouring of the world. If you look at our kind throughout the centuries, Our group has been martyred. They're being persecuted in many other places around the world right now. Should the Lord tarry, I think that would probably possibly happen here, you know. Our people have been all scouring of the world, and then suddenly during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, we're going to be the kings and priests in the millennium. Well, what a change. But that's the way the Lord is. He takes something that is abased, like his son was, and then immediately, suddenly exalts him like Jesus Christ is. He's going to do that to Israel. He's going to do it to his own people. And that's, of course, going to be real nice. You are not going to have to worry about anybody saying to you anymore, "You can't do this because it's unconstitutional." You know, that's going to be a great, huge, massive, glorious blessing. Amen. Now, there are some things going on in this passage that are just like the overview or the outline of the little text that we've looked here. Look at here. First of all, you see the hatred of the Jews now in this text. It says, "I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee." All right, you see the hatred for the Jew now. In this passage, you see the captivity resulting from the Lord's anger. He said, "I will save her that halteth and gather her that was driven out." See? I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Okay? And I'll turn back your captivity. Then you'll see the return from the captivity. He says, when I turn back your captivity. And then you see the praise that comes to Israel after the Lord's return and their release. He says, I'll get them praise and fame in every land. I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. Unimaginable, but that's exactly what happens. So let's look at those four points of the little three-verse text that we have here and see one of them, each one of them in detail enough so that we understand the passage of Scripture. First of all, let's look at the hatred for the Jews. Psalm 129, verse 5. Psalm 129, verse 5. And that's the thing about it. I tell you, I'll speak frankly with you about what's going on in Israel now, but I don't hate the Jews at all. As a matter of fact, they are God's chosen people, and because God loves them and won't consume them, I love them. In that same way, he says, I will bless him that blesseth thee and curse him that curseth thee. So, but that's not the position of the world. There are most people in the world, I would think, or at least a big portion of the ones that live around them would love to see them gone. Psalm 129, verse 5, let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Do you see that? That's not just I don't like. That is hatred. And the prayer here in this psalm is, let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. You read through the Bible, you see the way that nations treated Israel and the wars they got into, that they've been hated for a long time. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 30. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible says, when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. Now, the other day I mentioned to you something I'll reiterate now because you don't hear much of this, but the United States of America has been an ally of Israel, and the candidates that are running for office have to answer questions regarding our association with Israel and pose toward the Democratic presidential candidate was that going to be favorable toward Israel. And I think that's been true of every president for a long period of time. I think the Republican candidate probably feels the same way. Now, here's the deal. The deal is, if we are one of these lovers of Israel, the Bible says, thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. What's happened in time, if you look at the alliances in the Bible that Israel has had with other nations, those have been alliances that actually were profitable to the allies. They were also costly to the allies in that the allies with Israel did not hesitate to spend their money and their time and their military resources to go in and fight against the enemies of the Jews. But before all was said and done, the very people that had supported Israel were the ones that turned on Israel. So when I think about our country's position with Israel, I personally look at statements made by political leaders with a dim eye, because I know how easy it is for people to lie. You say, how do you know that? I'm a people. So I know how easy it is for people to find themselves in situations where they think that lying is expedient. And you know that people have made stories and jokes and comments about politicians that lie. And as a matter of fact, they've made bold statements about that. And they're not hesitant to name names and statements and make statements about what somebody said and what they should have known and what really was the truth and all that. And so people don't like to run around and say, liar, liar, catch on fire. But the truth of the matter is, there is a lot of expedient lying. That is, I got to say, I can't tell you the truth, you know, because if I tell you the truth, it's going to cut my chances down for being able to deal with this problem later. So with all that said, it'd be very easy for a politician who wanted to get elected to say that he favored Israel if he thought taking that stand would help him get elected. But that may not really be his heart. And I'm not telling you that I know the heart of any candidate. I'm not. But I'm just telling you, the way people lie in political arenas, the way that Daniel talks about it, you've got to be really, really, really careful saying that you believe all of that, when in fact, here in Jeremiah 4:30, we see that the lovers of Israel were the ones that turned on them and despised them and sought their life. So that's a bad thing, because, you know, a lot of Zephaniah is still yet to be fulfilled. And when the Lord speaks about the hatred for the Jews of something that was going on when Zephaniah wrote, I believe he's also speaking about something way out here in the future, like today. And I tell you what, when you pray for your country, you just remember to pray that we never get into a situation where we curse Israel. Because the Lord said, I will bless them that bless thee. You pray that we continue to bless them. And I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Just be real, real careful in your prayers that we don't ever give up on it. We've done enough already, I'm going to tell you. In these land negotiations, we've been encouraging Israel to try to make peace with the Palestinians in Israel's own land. Those have not been, I don't believe those are right at all. However, I believe they're prophetic. I believe that as we look, Gaza had to be given up in order for an enemy to occupy that land, because God said that Israel would get it back. And it's not a matter of getting it back if they're already there. So, with all that said, you just need to really be praying that we can live godly and peaceable lives in this country. Okay? Look in Lamentations 1:8, one more reference. I kind of sidetracked us there a little bit, but it's, you know, we're trying to make application out of this prophecy as well, and not trying to force it, not trying to force it to be fulfilled, just trying to make an application that says if you see this coming down the road, you know, there's a possibility that we may be affected by it now. Lamentations 1:8, Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her. See that? All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backwards. So when God starts dealing harshly with Israel, the rest of the nations say, whew, we don't want anything to do with her. And that's a problem. All right, so we see the hatred for the Jews now. Now let's look at something else. Let's look at the captivity resulting from the Lord's anger. And we've seen it before, so it's nothing new to you, but he says here that he's driven them out, okay, and they've been afflicted. God told them this is what was going to happen, and it was going to happen because they were going to turn their backs on him and not follow his statutes and not follow his laws, Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, look at verse 41. Deuteronomy 28:41, and the Bible says, and I'm right in the middle of the context, all of this is about the various curses that fall on Israel if they don't hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Verse 41 is just one of many bad things that happen. Verse 41 says, thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them. Why? For they shall go into captivity. Now, we've seen it before. They were in the concentration camps in Hitler's day, and many of them were killed. They went into captivity with Nebuchadnezzar. They went into captivity with the Assyrians under Sennacherib and other of those kings that took them captive. So there's nothing new, but there is a captivity that comes before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Isaiah chapter 5 at verse 13. Isaiah chapter 5, look at verse 13. All right, here the Bible says this. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore my people are gone into captivity. So there's the captivity, and that's how they end up in the lands where they eventually are praised and honored. Now, once they have gone into captivity, the Lord now shows them a return from that captivity. He says, I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Okay, the return from the captivity is something that's also prophesied. We'll look at a few verses on that so that you see again that what Zephaniah wrote is not something that is unique, not something that is obscure. It's something that is well documented in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and look at verse 3. There comes a time when God basically takes that nation captive for himself and puts them in the land of Canaan, in the land of Israel. And that's it. They stay there. Nobody else comes to attack them. Nobody else could win if they tried to attack them. Nobody comes to take them out of the land. As a matter of fact, many people come into the land to worship the Lord there. And so there is a final captivity. The Lord brings them back into that land, and that is where they will stay for an eternity. That time has not come yet. Deuteronomy chapter 30, look at verse 3. We're right in the middle of a context. Well, let's just look at it. Let's look at verse 1 so you can see the whole thing. It shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. There's the captivity. There's the scattering. And shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and they'll certainly do that when they enter the new covenant, then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Well, that's something. So the Lord says, I'm going to return and gather you from all the nations whither you've been scattered. They're going to be in their land. Right now, you got them in lots of nations around the world. And if you've ever taken any of those tourist trips in Europe, they always seem to take you down into what they call the Jewish quarter. It's a place where the Jews lived whenever they were in foreign countries. And usually, they were somewhere near the center of town. And off to sort of one side, you take a little narrow street down there, and you see the synagogue, or maybe a couple of synagogues. You see the area where they had their little shops and merchants and the kosher food and stuff like that. And they just had these little regional areas all over the world where they've been scattered. And the Lord said, I did it. And then I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to bring you back from all these nations. Look in Psalm 14 and at verse 7, and the reason, of course, that he did it, even though he used other nations to drive them out, is because they turned their back on him. They were worshiping Baal back there in the Old Testament and didn't worship Jesus Christ when he came in the New Testament. They aren't worshiping him now, and so they're still in trouble. Psalm 14:7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Still waiting on that. It's going to happen, though. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse 1. And this is a pretty amazing passage of Scripture here. It goes along well with some we're going to look at here in just a minute, but look how strong this is. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. The Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. Hadn't happened yet. They're having to share it with the Palestinians, and the rest of the world has their eyes on it. Some of the people in the world want to run them out of there. I'm talking about the Jews. And set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. Whoa. You see what he's saying there? He's saying that Israel's been scattered. Okay? So he's going to set them in their own land, and the strangers, that's the Gentiles where they've been scattered, are going to be joined to them. And verse 2, the people are going to take them and bring them to their place. In other words, the transportation is going to be provided courtesy of the Gentiles, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. That is, these people that took them captive now suddenly have to serve Israel. And they shall take them captives whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. So you take an Iranian, for instance, who's bound and determined that Israel, you know, gets knocked off the map. May have Israelites over there in prison, or I've got Israel scattered around. All right, well, what happens is the Lord comes back and changes everything, and now these people that have Israel in their land and have them in captivity have to take them back, and when they get there, now they're serving as servants and handmaids, the Jews, and they're being ruled when they were once the oppressors of the nation. Verse 3, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that so the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. Hadn't happened yet. Joel chapter 3, verse 1. Very interesting Bible when you look at all this stuff, because you know more in studying Zephaniah than anybody else who doesn't believe the Bible. They have no clue of the things that you know and what's going to happen. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And we repeat it again, the truth of the matter is that parting of the land is going on right now. So we must be getting a little closer to the fulfillment of these prophecies here. Lord, I hope so, because the rapture precedes the tribulation. You got to still have some time for all that to happen. So if that means we're getting ready to fly out of here anytime real soon, I'm ready to go. All right, we've seen now the hatred for the Jews. We've seen the captivity resulting from the Lord's anger. We've seen the return from that captivity. Now we're going to see the praise that comes to Israel after the Lord's return and their release. I don't think most people can imagine Israel being a nation that is praised by non-Israelites, not after everything they've endured throughout their history. But that's the prophecy of the Bible, and that's the statement that God Almighty has made on it. And you know something? I'm a Bible believer, and therefore I believe what he's saying is true, and I believe that the nations of the earth will reverence and praise that nation. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 16 is a great passage of Scripture to read regarding that. I'm hesitant to read the whole passage, but I will cover some main points. Verse 1, Arise, shine, for thy light come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, is a second Advent introduction. Lets you know that's where we're heading in Isaiah chapter 60. And then verse 3 says, The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy coming. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And they bring them with camels and dromedaries. They bring flocks. They gather them together with rams. And they come and they minister to Israel in verse 7. Shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar. I will glorify the house of my glory. And then he says, who are these that come up? Verse 9, surely the isles that shall wait for me and the ships of Tarshish to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. Kings don't do that. Kings, they want you to minister to them. Here he says their kings, the greatest men they have, are going to minister to you. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Did you just see what I read concerning Israel? There comes a time that if a nation will not serve Israel, God will punish and waste that nation. Man. Verse 14, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call the city of the Lord the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations, the Lord said. Why? Because I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So that sure changes the tunes of the nations around here. Well, here they're trying to despise them and curse them and figure out what to do with them and mad at them because of the Palestinian situation. And there in this text, the Lord says one of these days they're going to bow down and worship you. Look at this one here in Isaiah 49, verse 22. Isaiah 49, verse 22, look what he says here. Here he says the Gentiles are going to lick the dust of the earth. Watch it. Isaiah 49, verses 22 and 23. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. That boy, everybody's bringing the captivity back, said, Man, we'll carry you in our arms. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Wow, what a change. Can you imagine such a thing? I mean, can you imagine the Pope going over there to Israel and bowing down to Israel with his face toward the earth like you've seen people do to him and lick up the dust of thy feet? You say, why the Pope? Well, he was supportive of Hitler and did not. I mean, I read it in the newspaper coming home from Europe 50 years after the Holocaust. They didn't do anything. 1995 didn't do anything to try to stop Hitler from what he was doing to those Jews, and they knew what he was doing. Can you imagine the president of our country, the king of another country, bowing down with his face toward the earth and licking up the dust of the feet of Israel? You can't even imagine such a thing, but there it is in print, right there in the book. People say, I don't like the Bible. Now you know why. People say, I don't understand the Bible. Yeah, you understand it. You just don't want to believe what it says, because that's hard to swallow for a Gentile, but that's what the book says. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. And this is a part of this, what I'm going to read to you now, is on the United Nations building. It shall come to pass in the last days, we're not there yet, in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hicks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So you know what that means? A Gentile back there in the millennium, when he wants to get to know God, and want to know Jesus Christ, he will have to go into the hill of the Lord, that exalted mountain, and go there to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that time, there's peace, because the swords have been beat into pruning hooks or into plowshares, and spears into pruning hooks. People are harvesting the land, not harvesting flesh. Quite a change. Quite a change. Actually, I'm looking forward to it. I wish it was underway now.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.